Welcome to Skills for Crisis, a podcast for those who don't think it will get better, but keep trying. A podcast about discussing the tools, practices, and solidarities we might need to face crisis together. The podcast is part of the project Skills for Crisis, nurturing communities beyond tipping points. We went on a journey through topics around recentering mental health, solidarity in times of climate disasters, civil society work and mutual aid, and understanding the path of people on the move. The project is inspired by many activist groups, individual work, generations of thoughts and events. The main partners to organize this series of workshops, lectures and media outputs are three collectives, which are HOMOS, EDUCUT Collective and CHAS Kulturi. We are educators, publicists, and activists from Germany, Austria, Poland, and Belarus. We want to thank, appreciate, and honor generations of Black, Indigenous, and people of color activists that have inspired us and many of the concepts and resources, like those contributing to the book Hospicing Modernity by Vanessa Machado de Oliveira, Adrienne Marie Brown, and many others. I'm your host for today. My name is Fina and I'm part of EDUCUT, a collective that does political education in Germany. Today we're talking about strengthening civil society through learning some forms of survival skills. We will talk about herbalism and more precisely about permaculture. Various crises are already happening and we can't stop all of them. NGOs and large vertical structures will not be able to promptly and objectively respond to the challenges that we all have to experience in this way or another. There are skills that we can already start acquiring today to feel more prepared for what's coming and to become more resilient as communities. A lot of grassroots organizations already started doing it on different levels. I'm very happy to be joined today by Nastya, an organizer of the event Herbs for Nerds and a member of the Anti-War Hub project in Georgia. Thank you so much for recording your inputs and having this talk with me in this way. Nastya is currently located in Georgia and is a colleague of Zlata, who co-facilitated the offline workshop Strengthening Civil Society Work in Berlin that we did in summer 2025.
Salut. Thank you for inviting me.
Nastya, to start, maybe you could shortly tell us how you came up with the idea to study herbs. Was it just curiosity or the necessity to actually know more about them?
I think both, because herbalism is incredibly empowering because plants give us opportunity to actively care for our own health without fighting an authority. Since childhood, my mother taught me how to gather and use herbs. I grew up in the Leningrad region, as did my mother from the small Finno-Ugric ethnic group known as the Veps. She grew up in a village, and I think that's why she loves flowers and herbs so much and uses them. For example, she uses popular herbs such as chamomile to calm down before bed or if tooth pain, and licorice root to cough out mucus, plantain as an antiseptic for skin injury, and Eleutherococcus is more common in winter to boost immunity. Nettle is still my favorite herb. In 2023, I learned about the Solidarity Apothecary course, which helps refugees and people fleeing war and teaches how to make medicines. I also like the name. It's a herbalism, PTSD and traumatic stress course. In the course, she explains in detail what the nervous system is. Yes, but I have been studying herbs for only for a year And of course, it's difficult to start making medicine right away, but I'm trying and slowly getting there. However, I cannot say that I'm already expert in this field. And of course, I am interested in the effectiveness of herbs from a medical point of view in terms of how beneficial they are for my mental balance.
Before we know more about your favorite herbs and why they are your favorite herbs, can you tell us something more generally about herbalism if people are interested to get more into the topic?
To understand which medical skills you need, it is important to consider the context in which you live and act. First, the region. Common diseases depend on climate and environmental conditions. In some places it is malaria, in others cholera or dysentery. You should also take into account predictable environmental risks. Frostbite, heat stroke, bites from venomous animals, and attacks by animals or people. Second, the political situation. The risk of armed conflict requires knowledge of tactical medicine, which is fundamentally different from ordinary medical aid. It is also important to consider drug policy and what substances usually lead to overdoses. Third, climate change. Over the next 15 to 20 years, it may radically change everything. The spread of infection to new regions, soil degradation, famine and isolation caused by war or occupation. Even the range of available plants and medicinal herbs may change dramatically, and this must also be taken into account. It is also important to reflect on your personal motivation, how deeply you are willing to study medicine and what really interests you. Since your interest is crucial for long-term and sustainable involvement, you can explore different medical fields and self-care practices and choose what feels relevant and meaningful to you. If you are working as part of a group, it is important to agree in advance on the distribution of roles, resources, everyday logistics, funding, and core principles. A shared understanding of why you are together helps you end your crises and organize work outside the community. You should also decide whether you are ready to teach people around you in order to expand access to medical knowledge. Basic skills that are useful for almost everyone include teamwork and team organization, first aid, burns, injuries, bleeding, CPR, fractures, dislocations, transportation. Rescue and first aid in drowning. Childbirth. First aid in armed conflict and war-related injuries. Human anatomy. Pharmacology and drug interactions. Pediatrics. First herbal aid. More practices that can also be available. Building a library of learning materials. Here belongs also herbal medicine, the topic of today's podcast. Finally, it is worth refreshing your school-level knowledge of the natural sciences. This provides a universal foundation that increases chances of survival in any scenario, and help you understand what you and your community specifically need.
Thank you so much for sharing. What are your favorite herbs and why?
I adore nettle. Nettle is a powerful ally for people who are subject to chronic stress, such as those experiencing state depression. As a source of nutrients, it is beneficial for almost everyone. Nettle is incredibly nutrient-rich. It is rich in vitamin C and A, iron, magnesium, calcium, chromium, zinc, potassium, phosphorus, and silicon. The iron in nettle is very easily absorbed. The tops are edible. Nettle is also made into beer. Nettle soup, pesto, pchali, and nettle curry are common recipes. The book Healers of Javaheti, that fresh nettle leaves and tasty and good for health, so they use them in salads. And if you pour boiling water over them, they will stop stinging. My friend Tigran cooks nettle in the oven. When prepared this way, the leaves resemble nori seaweed. Nicole said that she used nettle like this. Add dried nettle seeds to soy yogurt. To add it to oil meal for breakfast during periods of increased stress, such as during tours, organizing large events, or cases of emotional stress. Yes, and today morning before recording, I tried this breakfast. And I want to say that I grew nettle in my garden because it is cute. Oops, because it is quite rare in Georgia, where I used to live. The seeds germinated very easily if you put them in moist soil. But be careful, because they are spread easily and grow fast and take over your garden. They grow well alongside rosemary and clover, as they need the same type of soil. And I want to tell you about next my lovely herb, lavender. I adore the scent and the effect of lavender. Since childhood, I have slept with a pillow filled with flowers. The scent calms me and relieves anxiety. Yes, if I'm too anxious, I drink lavender tea, but I add just a little bit, literally a pinch, because it can be bitter and I don't like this taste in tea. It helps me feel tranquility, calmness, and stillness. And in the herbalism course, Nicole delves into detail about research on lavender's effects on neurotransmitters and receptors. It sounds interesting. After reading book Herbalism and State Violence, I fell in love with passion flower as a herbal remedy for nightmares. It gently calms and relaxes the nervous system. It helped me when I have insomnia or when I can't sleep because of racing thoughts. It gives me vivid dreams, but they are not disturbing. When I see real situation in my dreams, it makes it easier for me. I can let go. Take before bedtime, add 1 teaspoon to a teapot to 1/2 liter of hot water, plus 1 teaspoon of chamomile and a pinch of lavender. It's tea for a good dream. In Georgia, it grows in gardens and can be grown from cuttings. And attention, use with caution if you are depressed or taking antidepressant, barbiturates or sedatives. I use with caution during pregnancy, of course.
For those who are new to herbalism, collecting herbs and so on, what are things to keep in mind when people start practicing this?
Be sure to read the side effects and contradictions or risk before use. Remember that a plant which is common in some regions can be protected species in others. So talk to local indigenous people to find out what methods best serve sustainability and overall plants and human health. Safety concerns. It's be sure you have correctly identified a plant before harvesting. Go out with a more experienced plant person first, if it's possible. Have a good quality plant identification guide with you. I have app plants.net, but sometimes it's slimy. And important, learn about poisonous plants in your regions and potential lookalikes. Yes, I move around a lot, but I have a rolling garden with medicinal herbs and I lead tours on herbal harvesting. And people ask me how much to harvest. It's a complicated question. It depends on the plant. Never over harvest. Only harvest what you will realistic use. One rule it that the plant you are harvesting from should stay almost the same as when you started cutting. I mean, leave it looking untouched. And in conclusion, not harvesting in contaminated places. It's train tracks, power lines, roadside, cultivated field and agriculture land with heavy herbicide and pesticide use, runoff in waterways. Different plants and part plants like leaves, flowers or bark store well different lengths of time. But most importantly, in a dark and well-ventilated place.
Thank you so much, Nastya, for joining us today.
Thank you for inviting me to the podcast. Have a good time. Bye.
You can find more information about the workshop that has been done in Berlin and also more materials, resources from the project on our website, www.skillsforcrisis.org. For as the number 4. We wish you all the best and see you next time.